are learning biographies of great Rabbanim, and today's shiur we will start with the Chassam Sofer, who lived in the time of 1806. Please visit us online at EnglishTorahTapes.com, where you can listen and download thousands of shiurim for free. We are using the text called The Jewish Experience, 2,000 Years, by Rabbi Nachman Zakan. And like we mentioned, we're going to start with the Chassam Sofer. At the dawn of the 19th century, Jews who had been oppressed for centuries suddenly found themselves confronted with the challenges of greater freedoms and opportunities in secular society. In an effort to take advantage of these opportunities, many Jews in Western Europe abandoned mitzvah observance and Torah study. That this tide of cultural assimilation would have overtaken Hungary as well had it not been for the efforts of Rav Moshe Sofer, known as the Chassam Sofer, who defended traditional observance against change. He established the Pressburg Yeshiva, and his students became the inspired leaders who led the Jewish communities of Austria, Hungary, and Slovakia, and kept them loyal to Torah. An exceptional Torah scholar and a strong rabbinic leader, he was the leading halachic decisor of his generation. Thousands of questions on the halacha were sent to him, and his responses are collected in the multi-volume Shelos Tshuvos Chassam Sofer. His Talmudic novelle, Torah Insights and Sermons, have also been published and are popular even today. His Sefer HaZikaron describes the 1809 siege of Pressburg by Napoleon's troops. The Chassam Sofer's legacy continued long after his death. His yeshiva in Pressburg flourished until World War II. Many of his descendants were great Torah scholars who led communities and headed yeshivas. Rabbi Akiva Sofer, great-grandson of the Chassam Sofer, who was rabbi of Pressburg before World War II, settles in Yerushalayim, where he re-established the Pressburg Yeshiva. Some interesting facts about the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer was a descendant of Rashi. Number two, by the age of 15, he had completed the study of the entire Talmud. Number three, he was a mohel who performed more than 700 circumcisions. Number four, the Chassam Sofer was Rabbi Akiva Eger's son-in-law. Number five, he was knowledgeable in mathematics, biology, and astronomy. Number six, his son and successor, Rav Shimon Sofer, was a member of parliament in the country that later would be known for its intense anti-Semitism, Austria. And number eight, the Nazis desecrated the Pressburg Cemetery, building a railroad through it, yet miraculously the Chassam Sofer's grave was untouched. Now we come to the year 1810, the birth of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the Musa movement. The Musa revolution started with a single sentence. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's mentor, Rabbi Zushel of Salant, told him, "Yisrael, learn Musa, and you will learn to fear Hashem." That sentence made him a changed man, and he went on to transform the Torah world. Rabbi Yisrael Lipkin of Salant, known as Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, was a young disciple of Rabbi Zundel. From the time he heard that charge, he began to focus on Musa. The study of ethics and values, and to teach his students how to find weaknesses in their character and perfect themselves. He showed them how to control selfish urges and improve themselves spiritually. Though these goals were always part of the Torah way of life, Rabbi Yisrael's methods were new. He established houses of Musa where Musa would be taught and studied by laymen as well as by yeshiva students. He also arranged for the printing of many classic works of Musa. Later on, many yeshivas integrated Musa into their curriculum. While the Rosh Yeshiva focused on teaching Talmud, the Mashkiach would teach Musa to the students and guide their character development. Reb Zundu, who has been one of Reb Chaim Volozhiner's closest students, moved from Salanter to Israel. With his teacher gone, Reb Yisrael moved to Vilna, where he was appointed Rosh Yeshiva and member of the rabbinate. In Vilna, he was soon recognized as a great scholar, but was forced to leave the city when he refused to accept a position in a government-controlled rabbinical seminary. He moved to Kovno, where he established a yeshiva and taught Musar. When Rabbi Yisrael had to go to Germany for medical treatment, he saw the damage the reform had done to Jewish observance there, and he decided to stay and strengthen Judaism. He worked with Jewish university students, helping them to return to observance. He also traveled to Paris, where he sought to combat the forces of assimilation. His last years were spent in Germany. Rabbi Yisrael's Musar gave many yeshivas and communities the strength to withstand the challenges of assimilation into Western culture. Many of today's yeshivas in America and Israel were founded by students of Musar yeshivas. Some interesting facts about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. During a cholera epidemic in 1848, Rabbi Yisrael led relief efforts in Vilna. He ruled that Jews must eat on Yom Kippur so their resistance would not be weakened. He set an example by going from shul to shul, reciting Kiddush and eating. In Rabbi Yisrael's passport were written the words, as we will say what it means in English, always immersed in philosophical thought. This was the government's way of telling the border guards and other authorities that this man had to be given special treatment. Rabbi Yisrael said, when faced with a decision, ask yourself, what would I do if today were Yom Kippur? And also, he was once asked by a very busy businessman, I have only an hour a day to study. Should I learn Musar or Talmud? Rabbi Yisrael answered, study Musar, and as a result, you'll find the extra time you need to study Talmud. Next, we're going to talk about the Malbim. We come now to the year of 1827. The Malbim is an acronym for Rabbi Meir Leibish ben Yechiel Michel. When the Malbim's commentary was written, there were Reformed Jews who taught that the Oral Torah was created by the rabbis and not part of the Torah given at Sinai. The Malbim showed where and how the laws in the Oral Torah are connected to the Pesukim of the written Torah. He also wrote a commentary on the entire Tanakh. Through his commentary and as Rav of Bucharest, the Malbim defended traditional Judaism. Afraid of him, Reformed Jews in Bucharest arranged to have him arrested and put on trial for espionage. He was sentenced to death only through the efforts and intervention of Sir Moses Montefiore, who contacted the officials of the Romanian government, was his sentence changed to exile. Did you know that towards the end of the Malbim's life, the New York Jewish community offered him the position of chief rabbi, which would be created for him? His family persuaded him that at his age he was not strong enough for the post. We're going to talk now about other great rabbanim in the 1800s. The Emek Dover. The author of Emek Dover was Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, known as Netziv, who was born in the small village of Mir, Lithuania in 1817. Young Naftali Tzvi Yehuda was accepted to the famous Voloshin Yeshiva at only 11 years old, and at the age of 36 he became the Rosh Yeshiva, the position he held for 40 years. The Netziv was in the forefront of the struggle against the Tsar's anti-Semitic decrees. Late in the Netziv's career, the government ordered that Yeshiva cut its enrollment in half, reduce the hours of Torah study, and introduce secular studies. Refusing to submit, the Netziv closed down the yeshiva. The Netziv was an outstanding Torah scholar, and halachic questions came to him from all over the Jewish world. Many of his responses are published in the Sefer called Meshiv Dover, and his Talmud lectures are published as Meromei Sadeh. He also wrote the Emek Sha'ilim, a classic commentary on the Sha'ilas, the Rav Achai Gon, and other works. Emek Dover has his insightful Torah commentary. His greatness as a Torah leader was achieved in great measure through his diligence and sacrifice for Torah study. For many years, he studied at least 16 hours a day. Did you know that the Netziv's son, Reb Chaim Berlin, was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim's Ashkenazic community? The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, first published in 1835. The Kitzur, as it's often called, is a simplified, shortened form of the Shulchan Aruch. It clearly and simply explains the Jew's obligations over the course of his life. The author, Reb Shlomo Ganzfried, was Rav of the city of his birth, Ungvar, Hungary. Now, it's unbelievable when the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, when it was first published in 1835, sold 250,000 copies within 22 years of its publication. Even today, it is a book used to teach and study Jewish law in many elementary yeshivas and high schools. Most traditional Jewish homes have a copy of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. By the way, for those who are listening to this shiur, if you'd like to learn Sefer Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the entire Sefer Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is available online, or you can request CDs. There are 55 shiurim on entire Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Again, it's at EnglishTorahTapes.com. You can listen to it. Let's talk about the Ben Ish Chai. Ben Ish Chai, Chacham Yosef Chaim of Baghdad, was one of the great Torah scholars of the Sephardic Jewry. He was a genius, and upon the passing of his father, he became the leader of Baghdad Jewry at the age of 25. He was a respected expert in Talmud, Halacha, Kabbalah, and Agadah, the non-halachic portion of the Talmud. He was particularly known for his talent as an orator. On the Shabbos, he gave three-hour speeches that captivated his audiences. On special Shabboses, he would address an audience of thousands of men, women, and children for 4 hours straight. He would begin his sermons by explaining the week's Torah portion. Then he would discuss topics in halacha. These lectures formed the basis of his Sefer Ben Ish Chai. He wrote many other works on halacha, Agadah, Talmud, and Kabbalah. The halachic portions of Ben Ish Chai are used to teach halacha in many Sephardic communities and are referred to by the Ashkenazic as well as Sephardic scholars. Let's talk about Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector. He was one of the most revered halachic authorities of his generation. Born in 1816 in Grodno, Russia, he spent much of his youth assisting his father, a prominent Rav. In 1863, he was appointed the Rav of Kovno, a position he held for 32 years until his death at the age of 79. He established a yeshiva in Kovno, and his community served knew no bounds. There was not an area of halacha which he was not an expert and with which he did not deal to some extent. He was approached by all, layman and scholar, Ashkenazic and Sephardic Jew alike, for his rulings, and he responded to halachic inquiries both day and night. Together with Reb Yisrael Salanter, he formed a committee dedicated to fighting the harsh decrees of the Russian government, and they achieved much for the sake of the Jews in Russia. Rav Yitzchak Elchanan's piety and his concern for the welfare of each and every Jew are stuff of legend. Towards the end of his life, he was very weak. It was the Shabbos before Yom Kippur, Shabbos Tshuva. Despite his feeble physical condition, Rav Yitzchak Elchanan was helped up to the podium, and he prepared to address the congregation, as had been his custom for so many years. As he approached the podium, he screamed, "People of Israel, repent. Woe, Jews of Kovno! What will be with the Shabbos observance in our city?" With that, he fainted. He was revived, and as he took to the podium again, he screamed, "Woe, Jews of Kovno! What will be with the laws of family purity?" Again, he fainted. The members of his congregation tried to revive him, but to no avail. His soul had departed. His works, Be'er Yitzchok and Ein Yitzchok, responsa in his work on Choshen Mishpat entitled Nachol Yitzchok, live on to inspire students and scholars alike. Now, the Be'er Yitzchok is a book of response written by Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, the Rav of Kovno, one of the greatest rabbis and Jewish leaders in the late 19th century. He was recognized as the preeminent halachic authority of his generation and was very involved in helping Jews in peril. Let's talk about Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch and his book called The 19 Letters. We are now in the year of 1836. The Reform movement had become very strong in Germany and had taken control of most of the Jewish institutions. Reform leaders portrayed Orthodox Judaism as something ancient and useless. The 19 Letters of Ben Uziel, written by Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, was the first successful defense of Orthodox Jewry against Reform teachings. After the warm reception given the 19 letters, he published a book called Chorev, a book that elucidates the mitzvahs and presents their philosophical underpinnings. German youth were astounded when they read about the values of traditional Judaism. For the first time, they learned how relevant these values were to their own lives. Rav Hirsch, a great scholar and outstanding leader, spent much of his life successfully strengthening Torah life in Germany. Through his many articles and essays and through his many books, including monumental commentaries on Chumash, the Siddur, and Tillum. Though he was the chief rabbi of a large province of Moravia and an influential member of the Austro-Hungarian parliament, he left his position to become the Rav of a small group of Orthodox Jews in Frankfurt, Germany. This group became the living example of Rav Hirsch's philosophy called Torah im Derech Eretz, Torah living while engaged in worldly pursuits. He began in Frankfurt with only 11 families, but became the leader and teacher of many thousands. His followers never comprised Jewish law. However, they accepted Western dress and language, received a secular education, and took part in the modern Gentile world. Their children were given a full Torah education and were fiercely proud of their orthodoxy. Did you know that Dr. Joseph Breuer, Rav Hirsch's grandson, left Frankfurt as a refugee from Nazi Germany? Arriving in the United States in 1939, he transplanted the Frankfurt Jewish community to Manhattan's Washington Heights, where he built a German Jewish community that continues to teach and practice Rav Hirsch's Torah im Derech Eretz method. Rav Hirsch, Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, had a magnificent German writing style which helped him spread his message to well-educated Jews. His books, now available in English and Hebrew, are as popular as ever. Let's talk about some of the great Hasidic Rebbes from 1750 to 1850. The 18th century saw the rise of many great Hasidic leaders, men of lofty spiritual achievements. Here is a sampling. Rav Levi Yitzchok Vadichev. Rav Levi Yitzchok always found a way to point out the best in the Jewish people before Hashem. He was a disciple of the Maggid of Mezritch and became Rabbi Vadichev, from where he spread the teachings of Hasidus throughout the Ukraine. The Vadichev was speaking to Hashem. He said to him, "Hashem, you went around the world to all the nations to give away the Torah. Only we Jews took it. Let's strike a bargain. We Jews have many sins. You, God, have much mercy. Let's exchange our sins for your mercy." This is one of the thoughts of the Vadichev Rav. Let's talk about Rav Nachman of Breslov. Rav Nachman was a great grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. His grandmother was the Baal Shem Tov's only daughter, Yudel. Rav Nachman lived in Breslov, where he taught Hasidus. His student, Rabbi Nosson, recorded many of his teachings in a book called Likutei Moran. Rav Nachman taught some of his most profound ideas through parables about kings, generals, and poor people. These seemingly simple stories contained great Torah wisdom. After his death, Rav Nachman's Hasidim decided that no one could replace him, and to this day, 2 centuries after his passing, the Breslov Hasidim refer to Rav Nachman as their Rebbe. And we did speak about Rav Nachman of Breslov in a previous shir, in the 1768 shir. Now, Rav Nachman taught that the whole world is a narrow bridge. The main thing is not to be afraid. It's a great mitzvah to always be happy. And wherever I travel, I'm on my way to Eretz Yisrael. That's what he always used to say. Let's talk about Rabbi Yisrael Friedman of Rujin. The Rebbe known as the Admir of Rujin was a grandson of the Magid of Mezrich. The Rujnusser was considered by many to be the greatest Rebbe of his time, and even great Rebbes many years his senior traveled to seek his counsel. Although he avoided pleasure for himself, he put on an outward display of royal opulence to lend glory to Judaism and Hasidism. Despite his greatness and high status, he was a victim of much persecution. The Tsarist government imprisoned him, and he eventually was forced to leave Russia. Thanks to his exile, he spread Hasidism through much of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Nearly all of his sons and son-in-laws were great leaders in their own right. Part of the Rishon dynasty survived the Holocaust. Through his descendants, the Rebbes of Saligora, Bohan, and Kapishnitz. Rabbi Yisrael said, this is one of his things that he said, the holy letters of the Hebrew alphabet need vowels to give the letters the proper sound. The Rebbe is the letters, his Hasidim are the vowels. A Rebbe needs his Hasidim as much as a Hasid needs his Rebbe. Let's talk about Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel, the Alter. In 1863, a small yeshiva was founded by Rav Zvi Levitan in Slabodka. In 1877, Rabbi Levitan was joined by Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel. Concurrently, Rabbi Finkel joined Rabbi Yitzchok Blazer, a primary disciple of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, in establishing a kollel in nearby Kovner for the advanced study of Torah and Musar. With time, Rabbi Finkel began what became the first Musar yeshiva, Knesset Yisrael in Slabodka. Rabbi Finkel, known as the Alter Slabodka, stressed not only scholarship but also character development. The Alter was a master educator, and many of his students became leading rabbis. Several of them went on to found and lead many of the great American yeshivas. Rav Aaron Kotler of Beis Medrash Gavol at Lakewood, Rav Reuven Guzewski, and Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky of Yeshiva Tor Vidas, Rav Yaakov Yitzchok Ruderman of Yeshivas Neir Yisrael in Baltimore, Rav David Liebowitz of Yeshivas Chofetz Chaim, and Rav Yitzchok Hutner of Mesivta Chaim Berlin in Brooklyn were all his students. In 1924, the Alter of Slabodka moved there to Israel with the Rosh Yeshiva Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein. They opened a branch of the yeshiva in the city of Hebron. After the Arab massacre in Hebron in 1929, the yeshiva relocated to Yerushalayim, where it flourishes today. Did you know that the Alter was a devoted Rebbe to students? For 30 years, he studied and lived with his students in Slabodka. He would visit his family who lived in another village only on the Yom Tov. Now we're in the year 1873. Let's talk about the Chofetz Chaim. Now, before we start talking about the Chofetz Chaim, there's a separate shiur about the Chofetz Chaim under biographies of great Rabbanim. You go to EnglishTorahTapes.com, press biographies of great Rabbanim, and you'll also be able to hear more detailed life about the Chofetz Chaim. So the Torah commands us to guard our tongue from evil speech such as gossip, falsehood, and slander. To make Jews aware of these laws, Rav Yisrael Meir HaKohen Kagan wrote the Sefer Chofetz Chaim, a handbook of the laws and guidelines of proper speech. The title is taken from a pasuk in Tehillim, "Who is the man who desires life?" Guard your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking falsehood. Published in 1873, it became very popular and quickly had an impact on the way people spoke. The author became known by the book's title, The Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim wrote a second book called Shmiras HaLashon, Guarding the Tongue, on the same topic. The Chofetz Chaim is a halachic work, while Shmiras HaLashon is an ethical tract. Today, both books are studied by many people. Each summer, thousands of women attend a convention in Yerushalayim on the topic of Shmiras HaLashon. Similar conferences are held throughout the world. There are Shmiras HaLashon groups where people take upon themselves to be particularly careful not to engage in forbidden speech during certain hours of the day. People sometimes join these groups as a source of merit for someone who is ill or who has some other special need. The Chafetz Chaim lists 14 positive Torah commandments and 17 Torah prohibitions associated with improper speech. The Chafetz Chaim died in 1933. After World War II, the Gentiles of Radin refused to release his body for reburial in Eretz Yisrael. They believed that because of him, their town was the only one in the area to escape destruction during the war, and they did not want to give up this protection. Chafetz Chaim was born in 1839 in the town of Zetel near Grodno, Poland. He lost his father at the age of 10 and studied in Vilna during his teens. He lived simply in the small Polish village of Radin, where he founded yeshiva. He wrote his Chafetz Chaim anonymously and traveled from town to town acting as a book salesman. By doing so, he hoped to escape the honor that would be given to the author. The impact of his books and his great love for the Jewish nation made him famous all over the Jewish world. By the way, many works of the Chafetz Chaim are also available online. Chafetz Chaim and the Parshas, Chafetz Chaim and the Agoda, Chafetz Chaim and Pirkei Avos, Chafetz Chaim Sefer, Ahavas Chesed, and many others, Mishneh Berurah, are all available online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. To help Jews properly observe the mitzvahs, he wrote Mishneh Berurah, a 6-volume masterpiece on Jewish law. It took him over 20 years to write this comprehensive treatment of the Or Chaim section of the Shulchan Aruch, the section that deals with daily living, the Shabbos and the Yom Tovim. The volumes show the great genius of the Chafetz Chaim and his vast Torah knowledge and scholarship. Mishneh Berurah is a reference work for Jews who want to know how to perform the mitzvahs. For rabbis and scholars, it is an important resource for deciding Jewish law. In reality, the Chafetz Chaim wrote over 30 sforim. Rabbi Yisroel Meir, who was the Chafetz Chaim, was concerned about all Jews and wrote sforim to help them. For the Jewish immigrant to America or South Africa, all alone in a strange new country, he wrote Nidche Yisroel. For Jewish soldiers drafted into Gentile armies, he wrote Machne Yisrael. He also wrote books specifically for Jewish women. In all, he actually authored some 35 volumes. The Chafetz Chaim was considered one of the most pious Jews of his generation. He passed away at the age of 95, leaving a legacy of books, traditions, and stories that continue to inspire us today. In fact, there is also online Chafetz Chaim on Parables of Life and Chafetz Chaim on prayer. An unknown customer in his wife's grocery store once forgot to take the herring for which he had paid. The Chafetz Chaim went door to door in an effort to locate the man, but it was to no avail. To ensure that he not be guilty of having money that was not rightfully his, Rabbi Yisroel Meir undertook to do a project for the public good. Chafetz Chaim had his wife close the grocery store early so that she would not take away business from his competitors. So as not to cheat people, the Chafetz Chaim checked every one of the books he sold to make sure no pages were missing. When he was in the 80s, he traveled to collect funds to help people whose homes had burned to the ground in the fire in Radin. The Chafetz Chaim personally shoveled the snow in front of his yeshiva so that the students could not slip. When the government issued an edict that threatened the Torah education, the Chafetz Chaim, then 90 years old, led a delegation to Warsaw to meet with the Polish Prime Minister. Rabbi Yisroel Meir spoke in Yiddish, which the Prime Minister did not understand. A Jewish senator stepped forward to translate, but the Prime Minister waved him away, saying, "He spoke from the heart, and hearts understand each other." He rescinded the edict. The Chafetz Chaim, when he heard that one of his students had been sentenced by the Tsar's military court to 10 years imprisonment, the Chafetz Chaim said, 10 years? The government may not even last 10 weeks. Less than 10 weeks later, the Russian Revolution toppled the Tsar. In the last years of his life, he predicted that great dark clouds would loom on the horizon and that the Jews would be in grave danger. The Holocaust began 6 years after he died. In 1875, a yeshiva opened in the city of Telz, Lithuania. Its goal was to educate the young men from Telz and the surrounding villages. The great Torah scholar Rav Lezer Gordon became Rosh Yeshiva in 1885 And under his guidance, the yeshiva became one of the noted Torah institutions of Europe. In 1940, the communists occupied Lithuania. They evicted the students of the Telz yeshiva and turned the building into a military hospital. Due to both the takeover by the communists, who worked hard to destroy religious practice, and the impending attack by the Nazi war machine, it was decided to move the yeshiva. Rav Eliyahu Meir Bloch and Rav Chaim Mordechai Katz went to America to arrange for the yeshiva to be transferred to the United States. Meanwhile, the Nazis invaded. The families of Rav Bloch and Rav Katz and yeshiva were caught in the burning inferno of Nazi Europe. In America, out of touch with their families and not knowing what was happening to them, Rav Bloch and Rav Katz decided there was no choice. They would work to rebuild Torah in America while praying for their loved ones on the other side of the ocean. In Cleveland, they opened up a new Telz yeshiva. The yeshiva began with several American boys and three refugees. The legacy of Telz Europe was transplanted onto American soil, first in Cleveland, Ohio, and then in Chicago, Illinois, branch of the yeshiva, and later in Riverdale, New York. After the passing of Rav Bloch and Rav Katz, the Cleveland yeshiva was guided by two great leaders of American Orthodox Jewry, Rav Baruch Sirotzkin and Rav Mordechai Gifter. Rav Mordechai Gifter was the first American-born major Rosh Yeshiva. He studied in the original Telz yeshiva before the war. A powerful, eloquent orator and a brilliant scholar, he became a leading figure on the Orthodox scene. Now you know that the Telz yeshiva became the hub of Orthodox life in the Cleveland area. Under its influence and with its personnel, the Hebrew Academy and Yavna High School for Girls set standards for American Torah schools. We now go to 1888, the arrival of the first and last chief rabbi of New York City, when Rabbi Jacob Joseph arrived at the port in Hoboken, New Jersey. Throngs of Jews turned out to greet New York City's first chief rabbi. He had been selected by the great Rabbanim of Europe at the request of New York City's Orthodox synagogues. They had asked that someone of outstanding ability be sent to lead New York City's Orthodox Jews. Before coming to the United States, Rabbi Jacob Joseph had studied in Volozhin and had been a disciple of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. He was a rabbinic judge in Vilna and was famous for his eloquent sermons. Unfortunately, because of the nature of American Jewry at that time, the chief rabbi of New York City was not accepted by many of the most powerful elements of the city. Secularists and assimilationists opposed him. When he tried to establish reliable kosher supervision, the butchers and matzah bakers came out against him. In the end, he was reduced to a figurehead without any real power. With the passing of Rabbi Jacob Joseph, the Orthodox congregations in New York never again attempted to unite under a chief rabbi. Rabbi Jacob Joseph was the first and last chief rabbi of New York. After his passing, a yeshiva was established bearing his name. Yeshiva Rabbi Jacob Joseph became a major institution. One of Rabbi Jacob Joseph's lasting influences on New York Jews was his involvement in Yeshiva Eitz Chaim, on the Lower East Side, the earliest yeshiva in America, later developed into a major institution of American Jewish education, Yeshiva University, which has been named as one of the top 50 universities in the country. We now come to 1906. Rav Chaim Berlin arrives in Eretz Yisrael. Among the many famous rabbinic personalities to immigrate to Eretz Yisrael in the 1800s and early 1900s was the famed Rav Chaim Berlin, son of the Netziv of Volozhin. Rav Chaim was appointed Rav of Moscow in 1871, and 7 years later left Moscow to assist his father in Volozhin. He delivered lectures at Yeshiva, but when the Yeshiva closed, he left Volozhin. He eventually settled in Shlaim, where he served as rabbinic leader of the Ashkenazi community. This great man's name is memorized by Yeshiva Mesifter of Chaim Berlin in Brooklyn. Let's talk about now Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer. Originally a member of the faculty of Yeshivas Knesset Yisrael Slabodka, Rav Isser Zalman was sent by the famed Alter Slabodka to Slutsk in order to lay the foundation of this up-and-coming yeshiva. In 1903, Rav Yisrael Zalman became the head of Slutsk and proceeded to mold and strengthen it. After serving for many years as Rosh Yeshiva, he left for Eretz Yisrael in 1925, a refugee from communist persecution. In Eretz Yisrael, he was chosen to head the oldest Ashkenazic yeshiva in Yerushalayim, Yeshiva Eitz Chaya. He became one of the most beloved personalities of Yerushalayim and was acknowledged as the Zakan Rosh HaYeshiva, Senior Rosh Yeshiva. He served at the helm of Eitz Chaim until his death in 1954. Rav Yisrael Zalman, a brilliant Talmudic scholar, had been a student in Volozhin and one of the primary disciples of the great Rav Chaim Soloveitchik of Brisk. He also studied in Radin in the Chofetz Chaim Yeshivas. He authored the famous commentary on Rambam, entitled Evan Wezel. His son-in-law and student was the famed Rosh Yeshiva Lakewood, Rav Aaron Kotter Zatzal. His nephew was the venerable Rosh Yeshiva Ponovitch, Rav Elezer Menachem Shach. Zechorinim Lebrochov. Let's talk about Rav Shimon Shkof from Grodno. Rav Shimon Shkof was one of the great Talmudic geniuses of his day. His novel ideas and methods of Talmudic analysis have had a major influence on most present-day yeshivas. Rav Shimon was born in 1859 in Tertz, Lithuania. Despite their extreme poverty, his parents struggled to provide young Shimon with suitable melamdim, private instructors, and by the time he was 12, there was no one in the city capable of teaching him. He left Tertz to study Mir and later in Volozhin. The effort that he put into Torah study was legendary. Day and night he toiled in the Beis Medrash, developing a clear understanding of the Talmud. At the age of 24, he was appointed to the faculty of the Telz Yeshiva, where his fame spread far and wide. In 1920, at the urging of Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski, Rav Shimon became Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Shar HaTorah in Grodno, which was founded in 1914. Under his leadership, the yeshiva's enrollment grew to over 300 students. It was in Grodno that he authored his classic work on the Talmud, Shari Yosher. The name of the yeshiva is perpetuated as Shar HaTorah in Queens under the leadership of Rav Shimon's grandson-in-law, Rav Zelig Epstein. Let's talk about Rav Chanan Bunim Wasserman Baranovich. The influence of Rav Chanan Bunim Wasserman Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Oil Torah Baranovich reached far beyond those he taught as Rosh Yeshiva. He literally shaped the outlook and perspective of the Torah world. Whether it was from a podium of a gathering of Agudas Yisrael or through his many articles and publications, Rav Chanan explained Torah values that have molded the minds of generations of Torah-observant Jews. He was born in 1871 and his youth studied in Telz Yeshiva. He benefited greatly from the tutelage of Rav Lezer Gordon and Rav Shimon Shkof. From Telz he traveled to study under Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, who shaped Rav Chanan's learning method. From Brisk, Rav Chanan traveled to Radin to learn at the feet of the saintly scholar the Chofetz Chaim, who became his primary mentor. He gained immeasurably in both piety and Talmudic knowledge from his years of learning with the Chofetz Chaim. Rav Chanan eventually established the Yeshiva Baranovich. In 1939, just before Germany's invasion of Poland, Rav Chanan was in America raising funds for his yeshiva. Despite the danger of traveling back to Europe and the protest of his American host, his dedication to his students did not allow him to remain in America, and he returned to Europe to be with them. He died al Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying Hashem's name in Kovno, murdered by Lithuanian allies of the Nazis. His great legacy lives on through his students and his published works, which include Kovetz Haoros, Kovetz Shiurim, based on his Talmudic lectures, and Kovetz Maimorim and Ikvis and Meshicha, works of Jewish thought. We're going to now talk about Rav Baruch Ber Leibovitz from Kamenitz. When the name Rav Baruch Ber is mentioned, one immediately associates it with deep analytical thought, piercing accuracy in textual understanding, and the utmost piety. He was born in 1870, studied in Volozhin, and was the primary disciple of the great Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Indeed, repeatedly throughout his classic Talmudic work, Berkas Shmuel, Rav Baruch Ber quotes the teachings of Rav Chaim. In 1904, Rav Baruch Ber became the head of Knesset Beis Yitzchak, a yeshiva named after the great Rav of Kovner, Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector. Knesset Beis Yisrael stressed intensive Talmud study and did not include Musar in his program. The yeshiva disbanded upon the outbreak of World War I and was later re-established in communist Poland. When communist was occupied during World War II, the yeshiva fled to Vilna. There, Rav Baruch Ber passed away and was buried. It's interesting that interesting fact that New York City Mayor Jimmy Walker presented Rav Baruch Ber with the keys to the city when he arrived in America on a fundraising mission for yeshiva. The mayor said, Rabbi Leibowitz, this proves Darwin's theory of evolution. A holy person like him could have been created only by Hashem. Let's talk about Rabbi Chiel Mordechai Gordon from Lumsden. Despite a life marred by personal tragedy, Rabbi Chiel Mordechai Gordon stands out as a towering figure of faith and perseverance. Born in 1883, he studied in Slabodka, where his reputation as a genius spread. He became the son-in-law of Rav Lazer Shulevitz, the founder of the Lumsden Yeshiva, but his bride died within their first year of marriage. He then married Rabbi Shulevitz's second daughter, and at the age of 24 assumed the position of Rosh Yeshiva in Lumsden. With great difficulty, he arranged for the students not to be drafted into the anti-Semitic Polish army. In 1926, the Rabbi Gordon, with 40 students, traveled to Eretz Yisrael and established a branch yeshiva in Petah Tikva. To support his two yeshivas, he traveled the world over collecting funds. When Poland was invaded at the outbreak of World War II, he was in America, where he spent the war years working to save European Jewry by helping create the Vat Hatzalah, a rescue organization. Most of his family, his yeshiva, and his students perished in the war. After the war, he returned to the yeshiva he had established in Petah Tikva. Rav Gordon passed away in 1966, leaving behind him his scholarly work, Nesiv Yam, as well as hundreds of students. Let's talk about Rav Chaim Ozer Grozinski. Now, I believe there's a separate shiur on Rav Chaim Ozer Grozinski's life under biographies of great Rabbanim, but we're going to just be very short for this biography. So, there's a Sefer Kol Achiezer contains a selection of Chaim Ozer Grozinski's halachic responsa. Rav Chaim Ozer was recognized as the outstanding leader of European Jewry between the two world wars. He was known as a person of boundless energy who had the ability to concentrate on several tasks at once. He wrote, studied, and listened to people all at the same time. In addition to being a leading scholar, he was responsible for helping the poor, and he founded and supported many charitable organizations. His efforts were vital in rebuilding the Torah education infrastructure that had been destroyed during World War I. His Vav HaYeshivas organization helped fund the yeshivas in Poland and Lithuania, provided for needy students, and represented the interests of the yeshivas. He was influential in founding Ezra's Torah, an American-based relief agency which provided funds for destitute scholars in Europe. Through his disciple, Rav Lezer Silver, one of the leading Orthodox rabbis in the United States at the time, Rav Grozinski had a profound influence on American Jewry as well. It was at his behest of Rav Chaim Ozer that Rav Silver took a leading role in establishing the Vat Hatzalah. He spent the last year of his life working tirelessly to support the thousands of refugee yeshiva students, rabbanim, and ordinary Jews who had fled to Vilna in an attempt to escape from the Nazis and the Russians. Though he was in excruciating pain from the cancer that eventually killed him, he refused to use sacred funds for his painkillers. he used the money to help the refugees. Let's talk about Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. In today's yeshivas, the Chedushi Rav Chaim Soloveitchik's essays on the Rambam and topics in the Talmud are considered the most challenging and exciting topics of study. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik develops the Briska Derech, a unique approach to analyzing Talmudic principles. This approach defines and pinpoints the finest distinctions in Jewish laws. He is known as one of the most innovative Talmud scholars of the 19th and 20th centuries. A master teacher, his heart overflowed with compassion for the poor, and he gave generously, though he himself had very little. Sometimes infants were abandoned on his doorstep, and he would take care of these children until they were grown. When he was only 27 years old, Rav Chaim began to lecture in the Mother of Yeshivas, the Luzhin. He remained at Yeshiva until the Russian authorities closed it. He then moved to Brisk. In 1892, he succeeded his father as Rav of Brisk, a post he held until the end of his life in 1918. Rav Chaim used to say, if you can't explain it, you don't understand it. When a fire destroyed much of the Jewish quarter in Brisk, he didn't rest for days on end, working tirelessly to help the homeless and destitute. On one Shabbos, Rav Chaim hosted 40 Jewish soldiers who had arrived on Friday and had no place to stay. When asked why he was lenient in allowing the sick to eat on Yom Kippur, he answered, I'm not lenient by Yom Kippur. Once again, when asked why he was lenient in allowing the sick to eat on Yom Kippur, he answered, I'm not lenient about Yom Kippur. I'm strict about the commandment to preserve life. A non-religious Jewish youth from Brisk was condemned to death by a firing squad patrolling a bomb at a Russian general in Warsaw. The general happened to be the nephew of the Tsar. The news of the boy's pending execution arrived on Yom Kippur evening, as the Jews of Brisk were about to begin Kol Nidre. Rav Chaim stopped the prayers in the shul and had the other shuls in Brisk do the same. He would not allow Kol Nidre to be said until 10,000 rubles were collected. He then used the money to bribe the police commissioner who would testify on behalf of the Jewish boy. The boy was freed. Talk about the Soloveitchik family. The Soloveitchik family was known for the many great rabbinical leaders it had produced. Rav Yosef Dov Yosheber was one of the great Torah luminaries of his day. For a period of time, he was the associate Rosh Yeshiva of the famous Lezhin Yeshiva, where the Netziv was the Rosh Yeshiva. After leaving his post, he served as Rav in Slusk and then in Brisk. Rav Yosef Dov published the form of his sponsor and a commentary on the first two books of the Torah, Breishis and Shmos. He entitled these Beis HaLevi, and that is the name by which he has become known. Both his son, Rav Chaim, known as Rav Chaim Brisker, as we spoke about earlier, and grandson, Rav Yitzchok Zev Velvel, served as rabbis of Brisk. During the Second World War, the Germans destroyed Brisk, but Velvel, commonly referred to as simply as the Brisker Rav, miraculously escaped to Israel, where he established a house of advanced Torah study. Another son, Rav Chaim, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, ultimately came to the United States, where he became a Rosh Yeshiva at Yeshiva's Rabbeinu Yitzchok Elchanan. Let's talk about the Sfas Emes. Rav Yehuda Aryeh Alter was the second Ger Rebbe, succeeding his illustrious grandfather, who was known by the title of his multi-volume commentary in the Talmud, Chiddush HaRim. Now the Chiddush HaRim, more about the Chiddush HaRim, is the first shiur that you will find under biographies of great Rabbanim, under EnglishTorahTapes.com. So all of the Chiddush HaRim's children died in his lifetime, so his grandson Yehuda Aryeh became the leader of tens of thousands of Hasidim when he was in his 20s. Rav Yehuda Aryeh was equal to the task, not only as a spiritual guide, but also as a scholar and teacher who inspired his followers to strive for greatness in learning. The ranks of his Hasidim grew to well over 100,000. His three-volume commentary in the Talmud is regarded as a standard text in advanced yeshivas, especially the parts that deal with Kutchim, the temple service. His five-volume work on the Torah and the Yom Tov contains the Shabbos discourses he delivered over a period of 33 years. Both works are called Svas Emes, and both are distinguished for their intellectual brilliance, breadth of knowledge, and piercing insights. The Svas Emes is a Hasidic work that is popular across the spectrum of Torah scholars among Hasidim and non-Hasidim alike. One distinguished 20th century yeshiva said, "I go through the Svas Emes every week, and every year I find new insights." Let's talk about the sefer called Darchei Teshuva. Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Shapiro was both the Rav and the Hasidish Rebbe of Munkach, which belonged to Hungary before World War I and to Czechoslovakia after the war. He was a man of strong character who would not compromise where truth and principle were involved. The Hungarian government forced all children to attend secular schools, even on the Shabbos and Yom Tov, Jewish holidays. In most communities, this decree was reluctantly accepted, but not in Munkach. Rav Tzvi Hirsch worked tirelessly and ultimately successfully to have Jewish children in his community excused on such days. The Darchei Teshuva, his most famous work, was accepted throughout Europe as a basic commentary in the Yoredeish section of the Shulchan Aruch. In it, he compiled the rulings and opinions of the major halachic works up to his time and added his own comments. It is amazing that he was able to produce such a work while he was deeply involved with the affairs of the community and his many Hasidim. One of his greatest rabbinic contemporaries said that he kept Darchei Teshuva on his desk always, because without it I cannot rule on the various questions that come before me in this great city. Let's talk about the author of the Torah Tamima. The author of the Torah Tamima, Rabbi Halevi Epstein, collected the Talmud's halachic statements on the Torah and explains it in an engaging style how the sages deduce them. The name Torah Tamima means the complete Torah, because his commentary highlights the direct relationship between the written Torah and the oral law. The son of Rabbi Yechiel Michel Epstein, the Rav of Nevardik and author of the halachic classic Orach HaShulchan, Rav Baruch was among the younger students of the Volozhin Yeshiva, which he entered at the age of 13. The Netziv, Rosh Yeshiva Volozhin, was his uncle. After leaving Volozhin, Rav Baruch earned his living as an accountant and became a prominent banker in Pinsk. He then moved to New York, but after a short time returned to Pinsk. His memoirs are published under the title Makor Baruch. He was murdered 2 days after the Nazis invaded his city. Let's talk about the Or Sameach. In the city of Dubinsk lived Rabbi Meir Simcha Cohen, the man Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik called the Prince of Torah. The Jewish world today knows him by the title of his commentary on the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, the Or Sameach, a work that presents brilliant and original approaches in understanding passages of the Rambam and Talmud. It is a classic text treasured by yeshiva students and accomplished scholars alike. The Or Sameach was the Rav of Dubinsk and was respected as a holy man even by the Gentiles of the town. When he was arrested by communist police, the Gentiles of the town, at great personal risk, helped arrange to have him released. During World War I, despite great danger, he refused to leave his city, staying on to help those Jews who could not flee the war zone. He also authored a classic work on Chumash Meshech Chochmah, a work that combines textual analysis, halachic commentary, and profound philosophical perspective. Amazingly, Meir Simcha authored Meshech Chochmah when he was still a young man, though it was not published until after his death. Let's talk about the author of the Chovos HaTalmidim. Rav Kolomimos Kalmish Shapiram was the Hasidische Rebbe of Pesichne, Poland. He was a charismatic leader and teacher who felt very strongly that he must concentrate on guiding and educating children and young men. To do this, he wrote two books that became very popular. The first was called Choivus HaTalmidim, Obligations of the Students. It was written in a style that would appeal to serious boys in their teens, and it sets forth how they should strive to develop themselves. He also wrote Hachshorat HaAvreichem, Preparation of Young Men, in which he guided young married men in religious development and introduced them to the world of Kabbalah. During World War II, he was interned in the Warsaw Ghetto. Even there, he kept up his work as an inspirational teacher and leader. He maintained a secret synagogue, even though this was forbidden by the Germans, and discovery could have meant instant death. On the Shabbos, he delivered discourses in which he called upon his followers not to despair, and inspired them to serve Hashem with joy, despite the starvation, persecution, deportation, and murder that surrounded them. His written copies of these discourses were discovered in the ruins of the ghetto after the war. They were published with a very apt title, Eish Kodesh, Holy Fire. Rav Clonimus Kalmish risked his life to save people in the ghetto, but it was there that in 1944 he became one of the 6 million. Let's talk about Rabbi Dr. Dov Revel, who founded the Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan. Rabbi Revel was born in Kovno, Lithuania in 1885. He studied at the Telz Yeshiva before immigrating to the United States in 1906. In America, he attended Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan. After his marriage, he joined his in-laws' oil business, first in Merida, Ohio, and then in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Several years later, Rabbi Revel returned to New York to become Rosh Yeshiva at Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan. His innovations at Yeshiva were designed to make it appeal to a broader segment of the American Jewish public. In 1916, he established the first Yeshiva High School with both religious and secular studies programs. Under Rabbi Revel's leadership, Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan became known as Yeshiva College, combining religious and secular education, the forerunner of Yeshiva University, which is now called Yeshiva University, but first it was called Yeshiva College. Let's talk about Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich, the founder of Torah Vadas and Torah Mesorah. Largely due to the efforts of one man's vision and determination, Jewish children all across America, observant and non-observant, were given the opportunity to be taught about Hashem, His Torah, and their Jewish heritage. The organization he founded, Torah Mesorim, helped build schools in Allentown, Pennsylvania, Atlanta, Georgia, Dallas, Texas, and in hundreds of other cities across America. In these schools, children learn about Jewish holidays and how to read Hebrew. They study Chumash, Mishnah, and the Talmud as well. Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich was a very modest person. He would correct anyone who called him Rabbi and request that he be called only Mr. Mendelovich. He made the point that Jewish education and practice is everyone's concern, for the misters, not just the rabbis. In truth, Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich had received smicha, rabbinical ordination, when he was only 17 years old. But it was a fact he tried to conceal from the public. He was a master educator who arrived in America from Europe in 1913 at the age of 27. Rav Shraga Feivel began his teaching career as a teacher and principal in the Scranton Talmud Torah, and afterwards moved on to head Yeshiva Torah Vadas in Brooklyn. As a result of his leadership, Torah Vadas became a major yeshiva. He quickly grasped the needs of American Jewish youth and was responsible for the establishment of a high school that would teach Torah subjects. He also founded the first Torah-oriented summer camp. The high school and the camp were innovations that inspired Jewish youth to be committed to Torah values, even in America. Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich is forever remembered by his students for the very close relationship that he nurtured with them by teaching them and inspiring them with his melodious nigunim. During his lifetime of accomplishments, he always remained first and foremost a teacher. Let's talk about Rav David Leibowitz. As a teenager, Rav David Lieber was a great nephew of Rav Yisrael Meir HaKohen HaKagan, the Chofetz Chaim, studied under the great sage at the yeshiva in Radin. In fact, he was his great uncle's chavrusa, study partner, when the Chofetz Chaim was completing the section of Mishneh Berurah that deals with the laws of Sukkim. From Radin, he went to study under the altar, Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel, which we mentioned before in Slabodka. He left Slabodka to see his father-in-law as rabbi of Solentshinnik, but after 6 years of that post, the altar called him back to become a pioneering member of the advanced Covenant Slabodka Kolo. Members of the Kolo routinely went out to raise funds for the institution. In 1926, Rabbi Lebowitz was in the United States raising funds when he was offered the position of Rosh Yeshiva Masifta Torah V'Das. During his 7 years at Torah V'Das, he inspired the students and developed close relationships with them. In 1933, he left Torah V'Das to pursue his vision of creating a yeshiva on the Slabodka model. He founded Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yisrael Meir HaKohen, named after the Chofetz Chaim, who had just passed away. Rabbi Leibowitz's goal was to create Torah scholars unfailingly, diligently in both their Torah study and their personal character development. Today, his yeshiva, known as Yeshivas Chofetz Chaim, and led by his son Rabbi Alter Henoch Lebowitz, has hundreds of students in its Queen campus and its branches around the globe. Let's talk about Rav Yaakov Yitzchok Ruderman, the Rosh Yeshiva, the founder of Yeshivas Ner Yisrael. Rabbi Ruderman arrived in America in 1931 after studying in the Slabodka Yeshiva. In 1933, Rav Ruderman founded Yeshivas Ner Yisrael in Baltimore with only 5 students. When the Rosh Yeshiva passed away in 1987, the yeshiva, which consisted of a mechina, high school, Beis Medrash, and kolo for married students, had grown to 600 students. Over the years, thousands of American-born and foreign young men have studied in yeshiva. Rav Ruderman was known for the care and concern he had for his students. He encouraged them to become Talmidei Chachamim and ensure that they remain committed Torah Jews. The Rosh Yeshiva became one of the leaders of Orthodox Jewry, providing guidance to nationwide Orthodox organizations such as Torah Mesorah. He was a member of the Motzoris Gedolei HaTorah of Agudas Yisrael. Rav Ruderman was a great Torah scholar. Even as a young yeshiva student, he managed to review the entire Talmud in only 6 months. When he founded Ner Yisrael, Rav Ruderman faced opposition from some elements of Baltimore's Jewish community, but his dream became a reality, and today Baltimore boasts a large and vibrant Torah community, a direct result of Rav Ruderman and his yeshiva. Let's talk about Rav Yitzchok Huttner, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Sifta Chaim Berlin. Rav Huttner's name is synonymous with the great American yeshiva he built from modest beginnings, Masifta Chaim Berlin. Starting with a handful of students, it became a major Torah institution that today spreads over almost an entire square block in Brooklyn. Before coming to America in the early 1930s, Rav Huttner had studied in the famed Slabodka yeshiva. He then traveled to Israel, learning in the Slabodka branch in Hebron. In America, he provided guidance and leadership to the national organizations of American Orthodox Jewry, Agudas Yisrael and Torah Mesorah. His deep thoughts on Jewish hashkafa and ethics are recorded in his classic work called Pachad Yitzchak. As Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin, he exhibited an extraordinary ability to mold students, each according to his own character and talent. He would plumb the depths of a student and guide him as an individual. Thanks to him, Masifta Chaim Berlin survived neighborhood changes, and under his disciples is enjoying unprecedented success. Yeshiva's Pachad Yitzchok in Yerushalayim is named for him. Let's talk about Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Torah V'Das. Rav Yaakov's unusual sensitivity and brilliance in providing advice to the thousands of Jews who came to him with their problems, prompted Rav Mordechai Gifter, or Shiva tells, to call him the Pekeach, the wise man of the generation. His face radiated warmth, love, and wisdom to all who came to meet him. Rav Yaakov arrived in America in 1937, first serving as a Rav in Seattle. He moved on to become a Rav in Toronto. After several years there, he came to Yeshiva Torah Das in Brooklyn, where he became one of the Rosh Yeshivas. Rav Yaakov was one of the great builders of Orthodox Jewry in America, guiding many students and offering wise advice to Torah leaders. He was involved in the communal activities of organizations such as the Agudas Yisrael, Torah Mitzorim, and was particularly influential in Chinuch, educating Jewish youth. When Soviet Jews were finally allowed the freedom to immigrate to America, Rav Yaakov used all of his energies and influence to ensure that the children would receive a proper Jewish education. He remained actively involved serving the Jewish people into his 90s. He addressed a gathering of over 5,000 at the 8th Siyum HaShas, completion of the Talmud, when he was 91 years old. Rav Yaakov was born in Russia and studied in Yeshivas Knesset Yisrael, the famous Labotki Yeshiva, and became one of the great Talmudic scholars of his generation. He was blessed with a wonderful memory and was quoted as saying, "I did not experience forgetfulness until I was in my 80s. Rav Yaakov lived to the age of 95. His advice to people who want to reach a ripe old age was to live as he did all his life, avoiding hurting others and never speaking falsely." Interesting to know that on September 6, 1970, a TWA flight leaving Eretz Yisrael was hijacked by Palestinian terrorists. The hijackers forced the plane to land in Jordan. There, the passengers were taken off and their plane was blown up. Rav Huttner was one of the passengers on the plane. Rav Huttner's ordeal as a captive of Palestinian terrorists lasted 3 weeks. Upon his arrival back in America, a large crowd of people waited at the airport to greet him. Another interesting fact is that Rav Yaakov Yitzchok Ruderman and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky were first cousins. In 1927, the first Ashkenazic chief rabbi in Palestine appointed. You obviously know that Israel was not called Israel until 1948. Prior to that, it was called Palestine. Rav Avraham Isaac HaKohen Cook was appointed by the British government in Palestine to be the first Ashkenazic chief rabbi of the country. A brilliant student of the Volozhin Yeshiva, Rav Cook served as a Rav in Lithuania and eventually made Aliyah. In Eretz Yisrael, he became chief rabbi of the city of Yaffa. In 1914, Rav Cook left Eretz Yisrael to attend the Agudah conference in Europe. The outbreak of World War I made it impossible for him to return. Trapped in Europe, he became Rav of the Machzike Hadas Shul in London. He was recognized as one of the great Jewish minds of his time. For religious Zionists, he was their greatest rabbi and teacher. Rav Cook was known for his overwhelming love for the Jewish people, religious and non-religious alike. The yeshiva he started, now called Merkaz HaRav Cook, was a model for Zionist yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. Upon Rav Cook's return to Palestine, he was appointed as chief rabbi. There were many leading rabbis, and particularly rabbis of Yerushalayim's old Yishuv community, who opposed the idea of a Gentile government appointing a chief rabbi. They also disagreed with Cook's pro-Zionist ideas. The old Yishuv was comprised of pious Jews of Eastern European origin. Many were from families that had been in Israel for generations, since the 18th century. Others had endured much self-sacrifice in order to immigrate there to Israel in the 19th century. Let's talk about Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld. As a youth in Hungary, Rav Yosef Chaim was one of the prized students of Rav Avraham Shmuel Binyamin Sofer, otherwise known as Ksav Sofer, son of the Chassam Sofer. His humility was legendary. Shortly before Rav Chaim Yosef was married, he approached the Ksav Sofer, who wrote him a letter of ordination containing lofty praises and adultation. Knowing that the letter contained praises, Rav Yosef Chaim put it away and did not read it for 20 years. Upon immigrating to Israel, Rav Yosef Chaim, despite his Torah greatness, considered himself a disciple of the great Torah leaders of the old Yishuv Yishlaim. Upon the death of Rav Shmuel Salant in 1909, Rav Sonnenfeld became the rabbi of the Ashkenazi community of Yishlaim. He agreed to formally accept the position only in 1920. In the tradition of other great leaders of the old Yishuv, such as Rav Shmuel Salant, Rav Yosef Chaim did his utmost to preserve Jewish tradition in the land of Eretz Yisrael. It's interesting to note that while Rav Sonnenfeld was opposed to many of the views of Cook, the two of them had a warm personal relationship and they admired and respected each other. In fact, in 1913-1914, they traveled together around the north of Eretz Yisrael trying to inspire Jews to do tshuva. We will continue Mitzvah Hashem in our next shiur.